Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Yes, that's his walk-up music, Rhapsody in Blue, and it is Tim Sullivan from the old Spit Bucket from the Courier-Journal joins us right now. Tim, thank you so much for being here. Your most recent piece of writing was, is this what 5-5 Louisville could have been this season? Cards show out versus Louisville. So people can read that if they want to know what your breakdown is of that. And it's a good column. But I want to ask you what we were talking about earlier. The morning show said the whole season comes down basically to the Kentucky game. And I don't buy that necessarily. If they beat Duke, which they 19-point favorites, and play a good game against Kentucky, you know, it's a game that's fairly competitive, whether they win or lose, and then go win a bowl game, it's not the ceiling. It's not like, well, this is going to go down as one of the great seasons in college history. But you know, a guy didn't lose the locker room and kept it going, and then they would have won a bowl game, and you know, it would have been two bowl games in 3 years. It's a modest success at the very least. I mean, is it, or am I looking at it wrong? Is the Kentucky game the be all and end all in your mind?
Well, you and I are not natives, Bob, so it's hard sometimes to put yourself in the shoes of the fans, but. You know, I agree with you. I think that if they can get a bowl game and perhaps win it, the Kentucky game recedes in significance. I mean, it's obviously the big rivalry game of the year, and it may be a long time before there's an ACC team that that generates as much animus as do the Wildcats for U of L fans. But, you know, given the difficult losses that they've had and how easy it would have been, I think, for guys to pack it in. You know, the Syracuse game showed a lot, I think. You know, not just their potential, but their resilience. And so, you know, I think that Scott Satterfield may not have won over some of those fans who are still miffed about the whole South Carolina flirtation last year, but you know, I think he's done enough that you know the coach's hot seat has him, I think, down to 46. So that's reasonably safe in this day and age. Although, my gosh, we've certainly seen some situations where coaches who were thought to be pretty safe are all of a sudden vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people hate to hear this, but the other people who do this kind of stuff for a living, the metrics folks, they point out that really one possession games in basketball and to a lesser degree, but still a very strong degree in football, come down to one thing more than anything else, and that's luck. It's a lucky break here, a lucky break there. And you can say, well, then what are you saying? The teams that win are just the luckiest? No, when you're very good, you don't let games get down to one possession games. You know, you have a margin for error, and this team doesn't have much of a margin for error, but you could also say that they've just been, you know, unlucky. I mean, he keeps saying that, and fans keep rolling their eyes. Was tired of hearing, you know, one play here, one play there, but that's really the truth. I mean, you give him two plays to drop in during the course of the season where he wants them, and they're probably 7-3 right now. Isn't that fair to say?
Well, the games that have come down to one possession, they've lost. And,
yeah.
You know, so if you look at it objectively, you know, they've had three games decided in the last minute. If you win even one of them, you're already bowl eligible with two games to play. If you win two, you know, you're in position where you could get to an 8 or 9 win season. They happen to have lost all three, And as, you know, Bill Parcells famously said, you are what your record says you are. I think Thursday night they're in a terrific position to lock up the bowl game, and then we can start speculating about which one it'll be. And, you know, I'm hoping it's not El Paso, but I may not have to make that trip if it is.
You got to see if you can, because I was telling people earlier on the show, at my son's auction, don't ask why, I won a round of golf at a very nice club down in El Paso, a foursome, to be used at my leisure. So if you come to the bowl game, then we'll play golf down there. I got to find three people to play golf with, so you might as well come down and join me.
I might walk the course with you, but I've retired from golf. I don't have the patience for it or the ability. I wish you well, and at the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
Yes. Well, we'll see. I don't know if I could play either with my back the way it is, but I'm trying to drum up a foursome in case that's where we wound up going. Let's talk basketball for a bit. Louisville did not play very well Friday. That Furman team is pretty good, though. They're going to be a postseason team somewhere. And the big thing, though, is the style of play for Louisville is not reflective of the commitment that we heard the coaching staff talking about at the beginning of the season. And some of the people are, you know, lost to Furman. I mean, they're ready to blow that up now, too. But, I mean, you know, there are mitigating circumstances. I'm not making excuses. They didn't play well. They have a reason to be disappointed. But, you know, Chris's suspension is not adding to that. But they haven't looked, you know, particularly good in the real games. The exhibition games were fun, but neither of the first two games have they looked very good. How much of a cause for concern is that in your mind?
Well, I didn't go to the game Friday night. I went to volleyball instead and watched him. And this is – Louisville's always been a volleyball school, as it turns out.
Yes, they
right
have.
Now they're number one in the country, so they're hard to ignore. But, you know, I was certainly following the game on my phone and was kind of stunned when Furman was ahead and I came back from the post-game interviews at volleyball and saw that there were 32 seconds left and Louisville was down by, what, 6 or 8?
Yep.
And I thought, mother, this is not going to go over well. So, I have no insight about that particular game, but it does appear that the offensive changes that have been made have not been completed at this point. And we're not seeing the team that... I guess that some of us envisioned during the exhibition games when they looked a little more dynamic against, you know, inferior competition. And, you know, it's easy to get misled by that. But I'll be there tonight, and, you know, I'll be very curious to see what we see. I had thought that they had added enough depth and the pace that they were going to play was going to be appealing. I thought it might be a little more consistent than what we've seen so far, but, you know, that's, I guess some of that is to be expected this time of the year with so many new players.
You know, we had Danny Busboom Kelly on the show a couple of weeks ago. She was a great guest. She's got a great way about her, great sense of humor, great perspective on everything. But it is quite an achievement, and I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm glad you wrote about it, because the people do really like volleyball in this town. It's very popular in this whole part of the country. I don't think people associate the Midwest necessarily with volleyball, but you take a look at the teams, and there's a lot of nationally ranked teams, you know, in this area. Kentucky's got a very good team, and Louisville up to number one. But, you know, you asked the question, could number one ranking mean Louisville volleyball is the best team in the country? I mean, I don't know if they had the postseason tournament right today, I don't know that they would be the favorite, but they have a legitimate chance, though, don't they?
Well, I think you have to like their chances. They've won six matches against teams that are ranked in the top 15, including Georgia Tech twice, and Georgia Tech is a formidable team, let me tell you. But I don't know that they have the same kind of power rankings for volleyball as they do for other sports. But, you know, in terms of strength of schedule, I can't imagine anybody's played a much tougher schedule than Louisville. And you know, when you consider they played 24 matches and won 18 of them as sweeps, that's awfully impressive. And, you know, I've already marked my calendar for December 16th and 18th in Columbus, Ohio, for the NCAA Finals. And I think they've got a terrific chance to be there. And that said, as a complete novice on the college volleyball scene. But, you know, I can read a stat sheet, and what I see is pretty impressive.
It's I'll tell you what. I mean, I hope they do it, and I hope the popularity continues to grow, because I've said that for a long time, and we talked about that. I guess there is, just to show you how under-publicized it is, I said that should be the sport that they should really be pushing in terms of professional in this country, because, I mean, the women's game in many ways is more entertaining to watch than the men's. We're good at it, and, you know, they should have. You put a professional team in cities that love volleyball, like in Omaha and in Nebraska, you know, which is where she came from, and here, and I guess they have a league. So, you know, but it goes to show you, I pride myself in knowing about all sorts of obscure leagues, but I hadn't even heard of it. So, but I can't imagine if they win the national championship, it wouldn't help propel it even further in the city, which is already very good in volleyball.
Yeah, I don't know that professional volleyball is going to take off in this country, and I think the top American players end up going to Europe to make money. But I know that there have been discussions already about moving some of the matches to the Yum Center next season.
Yep.
And I think that you know, if they win the national championship, I think there's some matches that would draw well there. I think, you know, playing Kentucky there would be a terrific scene, and you know, some of their conference matches as well. You know, they used to play at the Yum Center and moved back to campus, where they have a terrific home court advantage, and you know, they're pretty close to selling out most of their matches now. But you know, they can only seat, I think, 1,200 in there, and
yeah.
The opportunity downtown would be tremendous if people will embrace the team. And you know, that's I guess the unknown is, you know, is there enough interest if they win it all or come close to start you know, drawing 3,000-4,000 to matches downtown? And you know, I think there's a terrific opportunity. As you said, there's a great volleyball culture in this town at the high school level. So it's something to watch, and it's very entertaining. I had a great time Friday night.
Yeah, it is. It's a good show. It's absolutely a good show. We're at the top of the hour. We got to get a break. Good to talk to you, Tim. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk again soon. Be well.
All right. See you, Bob.
All right, Tim Sullivan with us here at the top of the hour. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back with more here. I'm going to get a bagel. Be back on ESPN 680, 105.7.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Well, I've been talking to Nick for the last 5 minutes and he hasn't answered me.
No. You've been eating a bagel.
No, I can. Well, you can do both. Anybody who listens to the show knows we can do both. So,
well, I took the sound out of my ear for a second because I had to set up the top of the hour break. And you were eating a bagel, so...
I finished the bagel. The bagel's long since gone. But now the question
is, saying?
Are we doing a conference call, number one? And number two, what else was I going to ask you? I completely forgot. Oh, do you have any other guests this hour?
No, there's no guests this hour, but there's Mike Piggy's sound I want you to react to.
You do? Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
I want to work in some text here to start the show.
We haven't mentioned anything about Kentucky.
Okay, you want to
I mean, they won 34-17. Why, people are mad about something? I mean, I read like they was not good enough. Or, I mean, I know Vanderbilt's not very good. And people are mad because they didn't cover the spread. Is that what the problem is? Because they had 31 points in the first half. What the hell did you want out of them? You mean they only scored 3 in the second half? Is that why people are mad? I was reading somewhere. Where did I thought it was in the Courier, in fact. It was like, eh, so they won, you know. It didn't really change anybody's opinion. What were they supposed to change?
Well, I mean, Vanderbilt's there like Duke, you know. It was kind of, and now they're going into, well, I guess New Mexico State's kind of like that.
Yeah, so they're going to wind up being 8-3. We're going into the Louisville game. It's a pretty damn good year. I don't know. I mean, I guess because people really thought it was going to be, and they had a chance to be a one-win season. You know, a one-loss season. They were staring at that. I don't think they were going to be Georgia, but they, you know, they had a chance. Certainly, Mississippi State, they didn't play well, and then Tennessee was the one that really is going to stick in their craw for a while at home. Then they scored 42 points and still didn't win. But you know, it's still a pretty damn good season. I mean, I guess it's nice in a way if you're going to have an 8 or 9 win season. I mean, if they win out, I mean, it wouldn't be good for Louisville fans. It means they would beat New Mexico State, beat Louisville, and then win a bowl game. They'd be 10-3. I mean, when did we get to where 10 win seasons are blasé at Kentucky now? When did that happen? that's a pretty big deal, I think. I don't know. That's how I see that.
Stoops was, and I don't think we have his post-game comments.
Didn't he have a presser today?
He had a presser today. We can play some of it if you want, but I mean, it's post-Vanderbilt New Mexico State week. I feel like people...
That's fine. I didn't. You make it sound like...
No. I know. I just... Care. No. And I know you're down to talk about whatever and everything, but if
sure.
people
talk
really
Christmas
want...
Christmas presents for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And people are big fans of Bino or whatever. Bino?
Told you.
Bino.
See?
Bino. There Bino. Bino, yeah. But I don't know. Just we were kind of discussing it, and, you know, we dubbed it. There wasn't a ton of great sound there. So a couple texters were asking that, are you guys going to play the presser here? And I think there's more meat on the bone previewing Navy tonight. So I think we're going to do that. There's a story, though. Was it this that you were alluding to? The Lexington Herald leader had three takeaways from the UK game. One, when you're on a three-game losing streak, a win is a win. This is from our boy John Clay. Number two, UK throttled it down in the second half. And there was a quarterback change at the half Vanderbilt made. They moved to their sophomore. I think Mike White was his name. And he orchestrated a decent second half. But Stoops said that had they played better defensively, they might have been able to not throttle down, as John Clay put it. But they might have been able to be a little bit more aggressive offensively. And then... the third takeaway in the story was UK has an easy one and a tricky one to go. So, I mean,
I think that's well said. I don't think that's not a lock for either team. That's you know, that's a very good game. That would be, like I said, I think that's not unreasonable expectation. But
is it
New Mexico State? But that's just weird. I mean, they if they really had to, they could probably win by 60.
Well, they are very bad at football.
What is the spread, by the way? There's got to be. They may not even have a spread for that game yet. Because let's go. I've got to go see. Let me see. 36.
Wow.
They'll cover that. Take Kentucky. They'll cover that.
I know you don't buy into it. But given, I think you have to look at it from, I don't know if it's necessarily a macro micro cosm, but maybe just where at the current state of affairs. And so I don't know if that's necessarily a macro thing. But the macro, of course, I don't think the season's success for either one of these teams is reliant upon a victory over the rival. I just don't think that's the case. But right now, UK had a historic start, then went on a three-game skid, and then beat Vanderbilt, which has for the longest time been, sorry, Will Wolford, the, you know, punching bag, the redheaded stepchild of the SEC.
Keep in mind, that used to be like a bugaboo. Kentucky had a hell of a time beating them for a long time. The fans would say, that's our yardstick. You know, we think we should be in it, but then we never do. And so now they just swatted them away like, I got that bug off the ceiling.
Right, and then they play New Mexico State, who is probably the third worst or the second worst team.
1-9.
Yeah,
they're bad.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, besides the Lafayette game, the worst opponent they're going to face all year. U of L has Duke, who is far and away the worst conference opponent they're going to play all year. And
40
then,
spots behind the nearest team in the ACC in the Sagarins. Right. The lowest team other than Duke in the ACC is 81st. Duke is 122nd or thereabouts. So, yikes.
So, I mean, is it almost... I'm trying to phrase this in a way that you won't immediately shoot it down, because I do think there's similarities between the two programs. And before all the big blue people start, no, look, I know UK has a better record, has had a collective better season than U of L this year. Not saying I'm not arguing that, but who needs the win more to validate their season? I guess at this point, because
I think Kentucky does by far. I mean, they have been perceived as the better team all year. You know, they have a chance at a 10-win season still remains a very, very special season, and they are still staring at right in the kisser if they get a win there. So there's no question that a loss to Louisville, fortunately for them, it would be let me see. Hold on. I'm going to check something here. I mean, we're looking at there's football here. Back to SEC, that's week 13. It's, I'm doing it. Yeah, it's at Louisville, and it's going to be, well, they don't have the time yet. I was going to see what time it was.
No, but yeah, by the way, there is a, I'm not sure we mentioned this at the beginning of the show.
6-day window, the 6-day hold or whatever it is.
Yeah, which is why
I think you know how to take the reservation. You just don't think you know how to hold the reservation.
Yeah, why are they doing that?
Because TV, why do you think? It's always for TV. They want to see which is the most appealing game to put on in the most appealing time slot.
Great Seinfeld reference, by the way. That very good.
Yes. So they're going to hold it. So the point being that, you know, Louisville, if they beat Duke, they're going to be in a bowl game regardless. It makes a difference, I guess, to some degree, the caliber of the bowl game. But to most fans, unless you're in a New Year's Day bowl game, it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of difference. It does run the risk that Louisville could still have a losing season. They could be 6-6 and then lose the bowl game and wind up being 6-7, which is no fun. If they won that game, they'd be 7-5, assuming they beat Duke, and then they're guaranteed a winning season. So there's an opportunity there. But Kentucky was perceived as a stronger team all year long, and they are top 30, top 25 marginally, and Louisville, I think what it shows, though, to be honest, when I look at those Sagarin ratings, is Louisville's a better team than a lot of the people here perceive, and their record indicates. And I know that Tim Sullivan always likes to quote the "you are who, you know what your record says you are," and there's some degree of truth in that. But I think it shows just how overall their level of play has been pretty good. They're 41st, I think, in the Sagarins. I think that's what it was. And Kentucky's like 31st, only 10 spots ahead. It's not a whole hell of a lot of difference. It's a couple of plays here or there. And I know fans hate to hear that, but it kind of is the truth for Louisville. They have been one of the unluckiest teams in the season in terms of, you know, one play here, one play there, the one possession games. They didn't even get – I always, you know, when I do that thing in the preseason, I always look at the schedule and I say probable wins, probable losses, 50-50s. They haven't even gotten their share of the 50-50s. The 50-50s have seemingly all gone against them. So, you know, it's just – what the hell is that? Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong number. I was going to say, that can't be right. They can't be separated by that much because I know I did it earlier in the show. Louisville's Sagarin rating in the ACC is they're 41st. They're 75.83, and they've got the 20th best schedule in the country. That's pretty solid season. Kentucky is at 32nd. They're only 9 spots ahead of them, rated 77.32. When if you add two, whatever it is, the home field advantage is worth about 2+ points. I mean, the Kentucky-Louisville game should be a pick 'em. I don't know that it will be, but if you go by the Sagarins, it'd be a pick 'em. So, I mean, it's really, I guess, you know, if you're a Kentucky fan, you're probably saying, see, that's why we're so disappointed. That's how far we dropped. We thought we had a really extraordinary season, but I don't think it's been that far off from a really strong season. They didn't, you know, they played two top 30 teams, Kentucky, and lost to them both. And that, you know, has dragged them down. Louisville has played 4 top 30 teams, and they haven't beaten any of them. So I mean those, but those four games could have been 2-2, and if they go 2-2 in those games, then Louisville's staring at they have a 7-3 record, and Kentucky fans are probably looking at the two games they lost there and saying, well, we should have won one, and they'd have an 8-win season and be easily staring a 10-win season in the face. They could have 10 wins going into a bowl game. So but that's how football is. I mean, that's the nature of it. It's, so you can't really look at it that way. You got to look at kind of the that's why. I think to some degree, to be fair, Louisville's had by far the unluckier season. I mean, Kentucky has had two, you know, they had the Tennessee game was a one possession game. They played terribly against Mississippi State, and I don't think they're beating Georgia. So, I mean, they're really not looking at it. They're looking at a season that kind of is who they are. The Tennessee game is the one that really, I know, is sticking in people, especially if they haven't beaten them last year, and that is a big game. But, you know, you're going to have one of those during the year. The problem is that you got to kind of offset it with another one. It would have been, in that case, had they beaten Mississippi State at Mississippi State. And then you come back, and if you lose that close game to Tennessee, it doesn't seem quite as damaging. But, you know, college football, you go on a three-game losing streak, you're like a month without a win. So it just seems even more magnified. But the point I'm bringing all that up is to just say that's why the people like me who were saying, you know, the people who are so down on Louisville's football team locally, I mean, they're talking about the fans, not Kentucky fans berating them. I'm talking about Louisville fans who are so disappointed. They really are not. It's a program that has really is very, very competitive. That's been pretty good by and large. They're 41st. Those four games, they needed to get two of them. Even one of them would be a hell of a difference. They got none of them. And you can say, well, that's an indication they're not good. And I would suggest that there's some merit to they're not as good as they need to be, because you got to give yourself a greater margin for error, and they don't have that. But you would think that if the ball bounced their way in a couple of those games, they'd get at least one of those wins, maybe two, you know, and then you're staring at a season that could be pretty exceptional. I mean, you know, this could be they're playing for their eighth win now, and then a bowl game could be 9 or 10, depending on what goes in Kentucky. And that's really, when you're in that range, that's your extraordinary years, you know, 9, 10 wins, 11 wins, wow. You know, those are the real extraordinary ones. 7 and 8 are good, solid seasons, and then the rest of them you got to evaluate based on where the team came from. Like, if Kansas gets to 6 wins next year, that's going to be great. Not such a good year for, like, Alabama. So, you know, it's relative. So, why don't we do this? Let's get a break, and then you want to do a conference call? Can we do that?
I mean, we can, but I'd rather you.
Oh, you want me to respond to Piggies?
Yeah, we have some Piggies. Okay. I just feel like that's more timely. I mean,
finally,
yeah.
I got it. That's fine. I'm good. I'm game for. I'm down.
437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. You might want to remind everybody about diamonds, but this guy is definitely in the mood for a bagel. He's typed, he texted 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Bagel. Now I want a bagel. Cinnamon raisin with Nutella.
I had cinnamon raisin, but with butter. It was good. It was very good.
437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Kentucky doesn't have a problem with a win. You just like to stir the pot. Let the cake bake.
I wasn't stirring the pot. I didn't write the article. What are you talking about?
Well, he I think he was reminding you to let the cake bake, and I think
I was the exact opposite. I was like I went the other way. He thinks I was trying to like chide the Kentucky fans. I wasn't doing that. I was just struck by the way they wrote it. It was like I said, a win's a win, ho hum. And I was like, well, they were right. The game was never in doubt. They did just what you should do in a game like that. They jumped them early, and they put, you know, 24 points in the second quarter. I don't know that I would, you know, write it. It was like they played awfully, and they. I don't know. I mean, what, they wanted him to win 60-0? I mean, I didn't get it.
Maybe this texter.
So maybe if it sounded like I was chiding the fans, it was the exact opposite. I was not. I was questioning why what was written was written. That's what I didn't understand.
This texter might shed a little light on it. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Pretty much the UK staff kept the starters in the second half, and they still got outscored by Vandy. Stoops has a history of not having a complete game. To me, you look at the best, Alabama, you try to copy that. Stoops doesn't do that. Needs to try and get to the next level. It doesn't have to do with the whole season.
Okay, I get that. I don't think it's as big a deal as people are making it. I mean, Nick Saban exasperates. There we go. Yeah. Get the right word. Exasperates me at times because he creates crisis when there's none there. Now, in his defense, he probably does because his team is good, is so good that if he doesn't, he's afraid they're going to get fat, happy, and stupid.
Yeah,
and
complacent.
Jump up and somebody's going to bite him. Okay, but I still don't think you got to be quite that way. He's slamming headsets down when they're ahead 62-3. You know, I was like, you know, please. But beyond that, I just think that it's human nature. It happens in basketball. I think it happened to Louisville to some degree. You heard Satterfield say, you know, the worst thing that happened to us was halftime. It's human nature. It's hard to come out with the same kind of energy and focus when you've pretty much squashed. Now, the danger in that is sometimes it's a team you don't know that well, like a non-conference game, and things are going your way early, and then you let up, and it's hard to get back on the gas, especially in basketball. But I guess that's my point. I didn't see it as big a problem as some of the UK fans did. Now, in their defense, I get it. If you want to say you're really elite, I mean, you know, you go beat people by ridiculous scores. I mean, that's what Alabama does. But I'm just suggesting, in the overall scheme of things, I don't think it's that big a deal because it's human nature to some degree. I know we had the starters in, but it's kind of hard to play at that same level. And now, you know, it just is. And basketball is even more of a problem because, you know, if you're ahead by 18, let's just use that as an example, okay? 18 points, and you've done it relatively easily, and you let off the gas, and they come down and throw in 3 3-pointers in a hurry, it's a 9-point game now. It's single digits, and there's still plenty of time, and now all of a sudden you got a game on your hands. Football doesn't kind of work that way. It was, I mean, the turning point in the Vanderbilt game was the opening kickoff. it was pretty well over. I mean, but I get it. I get it. I wasn't sure because they seemed so, you know, I guess maybe people want that. They want the Nick Saban artificial crisis mindset, you know, because that implies that we should be beating everybody 100-0. So I don't know. But I didn't think it was, I thought that was fine. They were good. I'll tell you what is a problem, though, is, I mean, yeah, they beat Vandy without, in the second half, really having to do a whole lot. And then New Mexico State, you know, was unless that would be, I can't, it would make the U.S. winning the gold medal in the Olympics look like a heavy favorite. I mean, there's no way they're going to give Kentucky much of a game. That's going to be a month where they haven't really had to play hard. And you know, Louisville should be a tough game. It should be a good game. And then to go from that into the bowl game, that could sour the fans. If they go in and they lose to Louisville and don't play sharp, and then they lose a bowl game and they don't play sharp, I think the fans might at that point say, now we wound up, what, 8-5, you know, and finished on 2 clunkers. Yeah, so they haven't been sharp, haven't needed to be sharp for a month, basically, or 3 weeks anyway. So, yeah, that could be a problem. But I think they've still had a really good year and could have been close to one for the ages. And Louisville's going to wind up, and hopefully, with a bowl game and a decent season when it could have been a good season. So they both have had a couple of opportunities slip by. You know what you don't want to let an opportunity slip by? If you have chronic joint pain. Because this is a company that can help you and help you big time. Knees hurting, hips aching. Think about an exciting new way to treat joint pain with biologic therapies, regenerative solutions. I'm talking about QC Kinetics. This is a group that has really changed the way you look at trying to deal with pain. You know, they're the leader in helping people deal with chronic pain with no surgery, no drugs, no steroids, no downtime. What it does is it helps your body heal itself, which is really the new way of looking at things. These are natural pain treatments. They actually repair and restore the damaged tissue in your joints. So instead of feeling better for a while and then feeling bad again, feeling better and then feeling bad, it restores it and brings it back to health and gives you long-lasting relief. You have to find out more from the experts. Call them at QC Kinetics at 502-219-4636. That's 502-219-4636. Hey, if you have any of these joint pains, it's maybe arthritis or lower back pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, knee pain, change the way you think about pain treatments and discover the biologic therapies at QC Kinetics. Get moving again. Get your life back with no surgery and no drugs. 502-219-4636 at QC Kinetics. 502-219-4636. Regenerative, restorative, real pain relief. 502-219-4636. We're back in a few moments here on ESPN 680-1057.
a part of the show, text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
All right. I wanted to do this. So let's see if I can do this real fast, and then I will get to the other orders of business. We are going to hear from the interim head coach, Mike Pegues, here, and hear some of his comments, and I will have a chance to respond to that. Let me see what I want to do with this. I definitely want to do this. I didn't even see this. By golly. So now there's two things I want to do, and I'm going to do them both, because that's just how I roll. Because we're getting to the holiday season. I mean, it is here. And wait a second now. See, this is the wrong week. Oh, my. Well, I'm going to mention it anyway, damn it, because it's actually going to be next week. But I'll give you the head start on that, okay? Wow. Maybe I shouldn't mention this yet, because this says the copy on this, Nick, is for the 22nd through the 29th. We're not at the 22nd yet. That's next Monday. I'm going to just give you a little bump and say that you'll want to pay attention to what's going on at the Genesis Diamonds next week, because I don't think I'm supposed to read this yet. But I'm just going to tell you, my goodness. It's going to be fantastic.
No, so. don't read that one. Don't read that one, because that one's going to be really cool.
Yeah, right.
Read this one that I'm texting you right now. Tell them about this one. Yeah, what is coming up is lit, as the children say.
Yeah,
listen to this one, because what they have going on right now is still pretty damn cool.
But. Yeah, no, it's always good. It's always good. But that's another one. This is this. Okay. Well, because they're coming off a big sale, and then what's going to go on next week is going to rock your world. But you should know this. We talk about Genesis Diamonds, complete dominance when it comes to diamonds and bridal jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands. They are, as you said, the bomb. But as we approach the holidays, you need to know Genesis has in stock now the largest and most impressive collection of fashion jewelry in the entire state. All the things women love: earrings, bracelets, pendants, passion rings, eternity bands. Genesis has case after case of fine jewelry, perfect rings and gifts, rather, for any budget. Don't forget, Genesis has exclusive arrangements with the top jewelry designers in America. That's why you hear some names mentioned on this show in our ads that you won't hear from the other radio advertisements, because they can't carry them. They have the latest cutting-edge designs, the never-seen-before, one-of-a-kind items that the other stores don't even get. So as you start to think about the holidays, wander into Genesis and take a look. No supply shortage here, lots of amazing choices, and of course, the best prices in the state. Let the non-commissioned experts at Genesis help you pick out the gift that you will absolutely love. Also, and this is worth your time also, the luxury pre-owned Rolex collection is extraordinary. Check that out. It's amazing. Genesis Diamonds, luxury pre-owned Rolexes, Shelbyville Road Plaza, next to a Trader Joe's. All right, so there's that. There's also this. And I wanted to mention one other thing very quickly. Let me get this done so we'll all be happy here. This is perfect. It was supposed to be the promotion for this, the sheet from Sweeney with our new promotion, but for some inexplicable reason, it won't open the file.
Well, while you're looking that up, I want to give a quick shout-out to our friends. It's legitimately one of my favorite commercials, because Jack voices it.
Which one is that?
It's guyonthecornertickets.com.
Does he giggle?
Yeah. Well, it's a 15-second spot. You know, I'm going to see if I can pull it up, because it just makes me happy. Because, I mean, it just sounds like it's Jack talking about going to a game. It's perfect. I mean, Jack loves to go to the game. Like, we're trying to logistically figure out how we're going to, you know, sit with each other and meet up at the game tonight. He's going to the basketball game, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to get some tickets from our
guy.
You're
coming to the game tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to try to. If I can find some tickets, and I'm pretty sure I can, on guyonthecornertickets.com. Your one-stop shop for the best seats to the best games and events at the best prices, guyonthecornertickets.com. I'm trying to see if Jeanette wants to go, too. I'm trying to work out a lot of different things. She's got kind of a gal's night, but we're converting her slowly into a Louisville fan, and so I'm trying to see if the missus wants to go, and if not, then I'll ride solo. Jamie's reffing And process, yeah, process is smoking cigars. It's cigar night. Nothing breaks sacred cigar night. So it might be Jack, myself, and Patty going to the UofL game tonight. And I'd like to. And I'm going to try to get some tickets on guyonthecornertickets.com. And wait. Let me see if I could find I think this is the spot. Wait, no, listen. Just listen. Listen to the little cherubic voice of one Jack Grossman.
Great moments don't just happen. They happen with you in the stands. Whether you bleed red or blue, guyonthecornertickets.com will fill your fix. Guyonthecornertickets.com provides all types of options for all events. Whether you're on a budget or want to be up close and personal, we'll fill your fix. Guyonthecornertickets.com.
He should be trying to be a voiceover guy. He needs to get out of this crazy business and do that. He needs to be the next Jim Cutler. Because he's so distinctive. I mean, you know, all the other guys sound like radio guys, and he sounds like he's just happy to tell you about, I mean, he's genuinely happy about Guy on the Corner.
That opening line. The opening line.
Great moments don't just happen. They happen with you in the stands. What?
Tell me that doesn't make you smile.
It does.
Tell me that doesn't make you smile.
It's awful, but it does. When it came on, I started laughing, actually. Oh, it's awesome.
It's perfect.
Great moments don't just happen. They happen with you in the stands. Do they, Jack? Red or blue, guyonthecornertickets.com will fill your fix. Guyonthecornertickets.com provides all types of options for all events, whether you're on a budget or want to be up close and personal.
No, just do the first line again.
Guyonthecornertickets.com.
Okay, wait.
Do it again.
Yeah, just the opening line. It's a great spot. Great 15-second spot. But just the opening line makes you smile.
And the end of the opening line, when he says, like this. Do it again.
Great moments don't just happen. They happen with you in the stands. Whether you bleed red or blue, guyonthecornertickets.com.
And with you in the stands. Oh, Jack, you're a treasure. Don't go anywhere, buddy.
What is it?
If you want to be up close and personal, we'll fill your fix. Guyonthecornertickets.com.
We'll fill your fix. He just makes you smile. It's just a little shot of endorphins.
He's a joyful lad. We like him very much. All right, let me bust this out real fast, absolutely as quick as I can. We already know tonight, you mentioned it, Louisville versus Navy. Join Ethan Moore around 10 p.m. for the Miller Lite postgame show on 93.9 The Ville and on the ESPN Louisville app. Monday Night Football is on 7:30 on ESPN 680 105.7. College Hoops coming up. The Cats are in action tomorrow again. It's Mount St. Mary's, and you can listen to James Strebel and Jason Entz around 9 p.m. The first place, they'll take your calls and do all that sort of stuff, 680-1057. Bellarmine Basketball is here. We're your flagship again for that. Knights are back on the road Wednesday at St. Mary's. They're out in California? Is that where they are? They're playing St. Mary's of California?
I believe so.
Pre-game coverage begins at 9:45. Tip-off 10 o'clock on 93.9 The Ville. Yeah, obviously, if it's 10 o'clock, it's out in California. That's a nice little place. That's a beautiful little campus. They'll enjoy that trip. And if they play better, they play well, they'll enjoy it even more. Louisville City has advanced to the Eastern Conference Final. Congratulations to them. Seventh straight season. That is quite a run for the boys in purple, as they will be on the road Saturday night. Unfortunately, Tampa Bay also won, so they get to host this game, take on the Rowdies. They will be underdogs in this one, but you never know. You never know. Proud group here for Louisville. We'll see if they can get it done. 7:30 on ESPN 680-1057. And don't forget to Chest Trap Soccer City on Thursday from 6 to 7 on ESPN 680-1057. Louisville football Thursday night against Duke when the Cards are in Durham. And ESPN Louisville is your pre- and post-game home. Join Patty Ice, Taylor Lynch from 6 to 7 for the Miller Lite pregame show on all ESPN Louisville stations. And then directly following the game, it's the Miller Lite postgame show with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. All that going on there. Kentucky football against New Mexico State Saturday. You don't want to miss that. James Strebel, Jason Entz again have the post-game show around 3 o'clock on that. And then the NFL is on ESPN Louisville tonight. Rams and 49ers. Thursday, Pats and Falcons. Sunday, four games. Colts and Bills, Ravens and Bears, Chargers and Broncos, Steelers and Chargers. My goodness, that's a lot of college NFL action going on here on your ESPN Louisville family of networks. GE Appliances hiring full time for all shifts. Join the manufacturing team and make up to $606 a week. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com. Whew. Okay. Make it at the park. I want to make it.
And just remember, everybody.
Great moments don't just happen. They happen with you in the stands.
God, I love you, Jack. I love you so much, Jack. God, I love you. All right.
With you in the stands.
I've got
he's the man.
He is. I've got a soundbite for you here. It's something that you brought up in hour number one, and I'm gonna put imaging to it, and I promise you this is actual work I will actually do. Every game, you are the analyst for U of L, so we're gonna have we sometimes do ask the analyst for reactions to games, but going into each game, I want to do, it's a cliche thing, but people want to know your three keys to the game. So I'm going to play a soundbite, and I want you to react to it, because this is something that played into something you brought up hour one, talking about Malik and some of, you know, his woes in the Furman loss, and how basically they were switching off of him. He was responsible for what, like five straight scoring possessions for Furman.
They just went at him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Piggy's post game addressed that and addressed what the game plan going forward in these remaining non-conference games will be.
Malik's obviously a veteran. He's been out there a while. He knows what's going on. He's far from perfect, given his stat line. He's got to be much better. But the guys behind him have to give me more confidence to play them more. I probably should have played Matt more. That's on me. Jalen had a pretty good thing going. You know, again, we'll look at the tape. You know, I'm not putting all of this on our players by any stretch. I have to be better. Our staff has to be better. Our responsibility right now is to find a way to improve our team over the course of these next however many days until Coach gets back and takes things over. And we aren't going to make any excuses. We're going to make some mistakes. And those mistakes can't cost us games. We got to be able to fix that stuff in practice. Our guys have to be able to come to practice and let us coach them and teach them. And then as a staff, we have to give them a game plan, and we have to all collectively go out there and execute that game plan at a high level in order to beat good teams. It's that simple.
So with that said,
okay,
what are your keys to tonight's game? I think Navy is getting, what, 15.5? I'm pulling up the line.
Was it that much?
I think it is. 15.5. Louisville's laying 15.5.
Wow. That's a lot of points. Navy's well coached. They're jealous. They're a good team.
They can shoot too, man.
They're a good team. Yeah, that's the problem. Well, so you answered one of your questions right there. They can't let them go off behind the three-point line again like they did the other night against Furman. I mean, that it's hard though. I mean, those kids are smart kids. They know how to play without the ball. They were good, but still, you got to find a way to get out there and defensively, they've got to get, you know, a series of stops. They got to get kills, which is what Mac calls them. You know, three stops in a row. He's not the only guy who does that. And they got to look to get a whole bunch of kills. They got to get, you know, I don't know what their goal is every game. I'd forgotten what Chris told me, but they that's how you put runs together. You get kills, and then you get going on the offensive end. So they're gonna have to run this team off the 3-point line, not give them good looks, and I think that's the first thing they got to do. The second thing they got to do is they got to have more of an inside presence. You know, they got a lot of shooters. That's great, and they want to move the ball and they want to spread the floor, but you still got to have a presence inside. And that doesn't necessarily mean you got to anchor down there like you're playing like a traditional five man from the 1950s, but you got to get in there. If you're going to go out behind the line, shot goes up, you got to get in. They got two offensive rebounds the whole game, even though they only shot 37%. They had more than an opportunity to get second chance points, and they didn't get any, hardly. There's got to be a presence in there. There's got to be a presence around the basket. At both ends, they've got to have a presence around the basket, more so than they did last game. So they got to run them off the line, have a presence around the basket. And then offensively, they've got to get the ball moving. It's got to be bing, 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 and move. You know, you always hear McMaines talking about the metronome and, you know, the ball should go like tick, 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 tick. It's going like tick, tick, tick. It's a good analogy. It's a good way to look at it. They've got to get back to that. They've got to pass it and move it and make this team start chasing, start the merry-go-round, you know, and get the defense and all sorts of rotations. I think that's the third thing you got to look at, and those are none of which they did particularly well last game. So that's something they're going to have to improve on, I think, dramatically tonight. So that's what I would say about that.
All right.
Are you playing some of the sound?
Well,
Me to call for the sound? Is that what you wanted me to do?
I'm trying
you to. Wanted me to call for it?
I'm texting some folks about going to the game tonight. So, well, no, the other thing I was going to play was, I'm trying to find this clip here. I'm also trying to find, I'm texting Magic because I want to see if we can find the imaging for number one, number two, number three, and, you know, something along those lines. So we can have UPS man voicing, you know, your points. But let's see here. Oh, this was one that I think was, I actually made this into a decent little sports.
We used to have a thing. We used to, do you still have the sound effect for three with V?
No, yeah, we still have.
Incorporate that into that.
Well, we still have three with V, but that's a separate segment. No, this was because for a little while, the Zone, I was texting Magic. The Zone, you had a segment called Top 3. And each day they would pick a topic, you know, it would usually come up organically or maybe, you know, something Magic and him came up with in their, pre-show meeting. But it would be like Top 3 SpongeBob characters or something like that. Or might, you know, have okay. something related to a sports topic du jour. And at the end of... I forgot what day it was. It was like Wednesdays or whatever. At the end of hour number one, they were play zoned in with top three. And it was just, you know, the top three, you know, topics or whatever the topic was. But they got Drake, our UPS man, to voice, you know, number one, number two, number three. And I'm trying to find that because somewhere in the, you know, the ESPN like audio vault, which looks like the warehouse from Indiana Jones, with just, you know, except just with boxes, it's, you know, sound files. I'm trying to find it. And Magic is off in law school. He visited over the weekend. It was fantastic to see.
I know. How is he?
He's great. He's doing great. So he's trying to get some paperwork so that he can take the bar exam. But, yeah, so no, we just caught up, and he's trying to help me find this audio file, but I can't find it, and now I've prattled on too long, so now, I can play it very quickly. This was Pegues talking about their woes on the defensive boards, and, you know, maybe a parting shot on this.
On the glass, you mentioned that you got beat on the rebounding, especially on the defensive side. I mean, you know, what do you think happened as to why you guys couldn't win the rebounding margin tonight?
Not tough enough. The glass is a toughness category. It's a toughness statistic. You either run in there, and it's more important to you to get it, or it's not. And tonight, it wasn't more important to us to come up with defensive rebounds, clean defensive rebounds. We can be a really good team in transition, but that will never manifest itself if we don't clean up the defensive glass.
I could not agree with that statement more. That is absolutely. I mean, it's terrible to say because you don't want to sound like you're dumping it at the kids' lap, but they have to play the game, and they were not tough last game. They took the easy way out on almost every possession. They, rather than work to get the ball moving, they just dribbled it. You know, you can always just dribble it and kind of drift around. They didn't get in there and mix it up. Two offensive rebounds, you should get two offensive rebounds by accident. You know, and so he's right about that. And they're going to play, one thing you know, at least we hope so for our country's sake, they're going to play a bunch of tough kids from the Naval Academy, so that's going to be something they better step up with as well tonight. Little schedule adjustment. I'll be in tomorrow. I'll be out Wednesday and Thursday. So unless you know something I don't, I'll see you tomorrow. Sweeney's next with the take. Have a great day, everybody.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.